Hello and welcome to the award-winning Canine Hooper's World podcast. Everyone's invited. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of season 4 of Canine Hooper's World podcast. Apologies in advance, I've broken my voice. It is technical term is fecked, and we're just going to go with it and see what happens. The guest I have on today does that weird running thing. Now, y'all know as a Hooper's handler, I don't do the running thing, but we're going to get into it. So, Mark, hello, how are you?
Good morning, how are you? You're all very good. That running thing, yes, an interesting one, right? Where do you want me to start with that?
I mean, it's a lot of effort.
So let me start with the first myth of Canicross. It's a bit like an advert for a gym. We only see the pretty people and the muscly people and all that kind of stuff, right? We've all seen those gyms, the new you. So the biggest myth with Canicross is that you have to be a runner. You have to be already able to run. Don't get me wrong, if you are a runner, it's great, but you don't have to be. And it's not the end goal of what Canicross is about, or certainly not with Skellywags. It's not about becoming this amazing fit. God, I can run 25 miles with my dog. It's not that. We're not that. If you're tuning in and you think, oh, well, I learned to run a marathon with a dog, we're probably not the class for you. So it is running, but we do a canny talk as well, which is walking. So we try and cover bits for everyone. But yeah, that running thing, yeah, I get that. I get why people might think that.
So, Mark, for people that don't know you, who are you and what do you do apart from that weird running thing?
So I'm this little bald guy, if most people have seen me in the past. I'm a dog trainer and at Canicross, I do lots of different things. So why did I start down the road of dog training and Canicross? Well, like most trainers, we've got a dog that's probably best described as difficult, or we've had difficult dogs, shall we say, in our lives.
Big emotions. Dogs.
Yeah, big emotions, right. And I've had some dogs with big emotions. And one of my current dogs still has big emotions. Yes, I'm a trainer and I've got a big emotion dog. How terrible. However, we started Canicrossing because Canicross was advised to me to say it may help with his emotions. So let's call it reactivity because a lot of people find that term easier to understand. So that's where it all started really with the Canicross, because I wanted to try an activity with him that might help him. And the answer to it is yes, it definitely helped him. So that's why I started. But who am I? Just a dog trainer, part of IMDT, UK Sniffer Dogs, obviously Hooper's Worlds with you, and Skellywags Canicross as well. So there's a couple of us out there. There's three instructors, including myself, and we teach people to Canicross safely and happily, I think is probably.
So I have done some canny with Dodge. Occasionally I go out with my best friend and my cousin. It's quite a nice way of getting the dogs out together. So my best friend has a Mallee that Dodge absolutely adores. It's the love of his life. And she's also got a little, it's a Frenchie Stafford mix. It's basically a fatted snuffle pig thing. He's really called Reg. Now Dodge's general rule of thumb is I don't do other boy dogs. But when we're running, him and Reg can be next to each other, absolutely fine. Dodge isn't muzzled and they're just all running. It's like this massive gingerness because my cousin's got a Viz Cross Bavarian. So all the dogs have a slight ginger tinge to them. And honestly, we must look like a bunch of lunatics running. One thing that is always fun as well is the last one we went on, we were on a single track path. We were going like down sort of a track near a farmer's field. There was fences both sides. And squirrel.
Yes, the tree rat. We call it tree rat because if we say the word squirrel in a class for some of our dogs, that's almost like, fuck, I'm on high alert. Where's the little bastard? I want it. I want it. I want it. So we don't use the term squirrel anymore. We use the term tree rat. So it's much easier for me to go tree rat ahead. And everyone's like, okay. So they can focus their dog on. So we'll be like, keep going, you know, on. So we can put a cue in place so that if they see this tree rat, we can suddenly go on, leave. We're working prior to that happening, as opposed to, oh crap. And for some, being attached to a smaller dog is fine. Because you go, okay, I've got this, it's no problem. But we have a few big dogs in class with small people, shepherds and mallees, and yeah, suddenly that becomes a whole new game if we don't put the right cue in place. Or hug a tree as we run past. You know, that's an alternative.
So you have my friend in front who's got the Mallee and the Staffy mix. So she's got a good, I reckon, 40-kilo combination on the front of her.
Yep.
I've got 35 kilos of Dodge, who is up her backside. So she's attached these two, plus she's got a German Shepherd behind her. I mean, she has to run.
So what I'll do is I'll arrange, so anyone that wants to run without their dog and wants to get their pace up, I'm going to just put a squirrel on their backpack, pop them over to you and say, can you just run in front of these dogs? I just want them to get a little bit of pace going. Let's see how that works out. And I've got a few, there's a couple of people actually who I might like to set up for that. So let me know and I'll send them your way with a squirrel on their backpack. Let's see how that works.
I mean, I can always bring Dodge over and you can attach him to the front of you and you're more likely to keep up with him than me.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about that. And a lot of people, so it's quite a good point there that you brought up that you've got a big dog. So, for example, Bert I run with is a collie. And we're actually really well matched through lots of years of training. We're very matched evenly and we understand each other's. He understands my cues. And more importantly, I understand his body language. So I can see when we need to work, when he doesn't need to, and all that sort of stuff. But one of the things we often get is somebody will say, oh my God, I'd love to run with your dog. And I'm like, you wouldn't. Because if we just say that we've got a really big, strong, fast dog, and someone says, oh, that'll make me run really quickly. No, it won't. It just make you run into a tree or fall over. It doesn't work like that. We have to, like in anything we've trained, it's a bit like giving, I don't know, a spaniel, a collie, all those types of dogs, take them to agility or hoopers and going, my dog's going to understand this because that's what it does. If I let my dog, if I put Bert in a field with sheep, he wouldn't chase him. He'd probably look at them and go, well, what do you want me to do with them then? Because he hasn't been trained to. So it's not as simple as say, I'd be fast. But what we do need to do is when we train, we need to make sure that the dog and the human build that bond so that, yes, you can run with a big dog and equally you can run with a small dog. It doesn't matter what size the dog is. It's about what happens between the harness, the bungee, and you. That's the important bit.
Because my friend that's got the Mallee and the little fat-head creature, bless him, she's also got a Dutch herder who is really tall. She doesn't run with her because it's just too much. There's too much engine on the front to be safe when attached to a small person behind. It's not a compatible team at the moment.
So strangely enough, at the moment, for example, so if she found a instructor and did the training and the dog started to follow cues like any other training, actually running with a big dog is just running because you're working together. One of the myths about canicross, it's not a myth, one of the things that I don't like seeing is a dog just dragging a human, right? That's not canicross, that's dragging, right? It's not canicross at all. You're not working together. Your listeners aren't going to see this, but you'll see this. Running behind the dog. So they're like running behind the dog, going, oh God, oh God. That's just out of control dragging. So, but if we train it, actually, big person with a small dog can work. Big dog, small person can work, but don't expect to go, oh, I've got all the kit. it's just going to work now because it
The one I find hard, like uphill's hilarious because I'm like, go on, dodge. And he's like, oh, mum, you need to put a bit of effort in up this hill. Come on, I cannot drag your fat ass up this hill on my own. Like, we have to steal. But then downhill, I'm like, okay, dude, please do not run down this hill because I'm going to die.
So this is what myself and the instructors will always say this. If you're going to fall over with your dog, fall over going uphill because you don't have force coefficients. Do not fall over running downhill. So the safest thing to do, so like with Dodge, I've seen Dodge. I know he's a big, powerful dog, shall we say, often known as the beast. Isn't he? Are we okay? Am I okay calling him a beast?
I mean, he gets referred to as the creature. So
the creature, that's right, yeah. So you've got the creature in front of you, and as much fun and as scary sometimes as it might be, like, oh, I'm running downhill, don't. Right? Here's a simple thing. Just don't, right?
Health and safety risk assessment.
Yeah, exactly. Risk assessment. As a club, wherever we run, we do a risk assessment. And we risk assess where we're going to run. We also risk assess who's in our group. I mean, that's important too. So, like, if in any dog training class, we will assess the group that we have in front of us. We might add extra space. We might do this. We might do that. And it's exactly the same with Canicross. We will say, okay, we've got some reactive dogs within the group today, so we'll need extra space. And likewise, we'll have a look and say, okay, we've got really experienced canicrossers that can deal with a technical route. Running downhill isn't a problem. However, we still make sure that the training's gone in prior to that. So if you're going to us for a taster session, we wouldn't take you up Mount Snowdon and say, right, let's run down it. Because that would be really thick, right? We'd never get to top. And secondly, it's about little steps and adding them on. And the biggest danger, like all of what we teach, is people will just go, oh, that looks awesome. I'm going to go and run with my dog. And they don't research it. So you know, if I'd be serious about a couple of bits first, because this is really important for people that want to try it. I'm not saying you have to join clubs. I'm not saying you have to pay people to, like Skellywags, where you'd have to pay to do a course with us and train, et cetera, and classes.
I do think that it is good to have someone that kind of advises you on correct technique and
stuff.
So this
is where
what
I'm trying to say is that don't just, so let's start with the person I see that frustrates me the most and almost makes me pull over in my car and jump out, right?
I've got a feeling we might be wanting to pull over on the same person.
I'm trying to be nice at this point. So let's just say I'm driving along the road and then I see somebody running with their dog on a lead, on a collar and on the pavement, and it's 32 degrees. My head's screaming, pull over, take the dog, put it indoors. Don't let that person have the dog anymore, right? I have to control that. So if you're going to start canicrossing, there are some things that are really important. A harness for your dog. Now, the harness for your dog is the most important thing, in my opinion. So when you're looking at getting involved in canicross and you're looking at the kit, the three bits of kit you're going to need, you're going to need a harness, a sports harness for your dog. You're going to need a bungee line, which attaches the dog to you. And you're going to need a canicross belt. So let's start with the harness. So a good fitting harness, and we call them a good fitting harness because the dog needs free movement of its shoulders. So there's no restriction. But more importantly, it's about where it fits on the chest. So if you imagine, I'm a very, very visual guy,
visual is not good for podcasting, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that, but so it's more for me to kind of, so if you imagine where your sternum is on your chest as you go up.
So easiest way to explain it, keel on a boat, the pointy bit that will go through the water, your dog also has a bone that's got pushed through the air.
So I was trying to be a bit too flashy. The sticky out bit, the lumpy bit at the front of your dog.
Layman's terms is fine.
So if the harness should fit on there, and not rise up. So if you, so the reason I'm saying doing it on you is if you push around your sternum, mm-hmm. it doesn't affect your voice or your. If I go too high like that, that's pushing
into. Let's not talk about voices being affected.
Yeah, yeah. So you might sound like Carrie if you start pushing your fingers into your throat, your windpipe. I'm not saying that's how it's happened. I'm just saying that's how it might sound. So one of the ways, so you can't see what's going on the other side of this because we're recording this over Zoom. Do you need a moment? Are you all right?
You can't make me laugh that much.
So I've taken a very serious point and made it not very serious. But no, the harness is really important. A good fitting harness is important for our dog so that it's got free movement of its shoulders and it's also not going to obstruct or cause any pressure to their airway. The easiest way is if your dog's running and they're wheezing, that may well be the case. It may also be that where the harness has come under the ribs, if it's on the fleshy bit, we might be getting a little bit of traction there, so we don't want that either. Go on.
So also just to kind of add to that, you sometimes see people kind of going, oh, I've got this breed of dog. What harness would you recommend? But I think it's one of those you need to kind of try different harnesses, which is why if you can go to a club, it really helps, doesn't it? Because the type of harness that I assumed would be good for Dodge actually isn't. So because of his hips, he's not comfortable with a harness that sits far back. He's better with a short harness.
He's on a short, yeah.
Off of his hips.
Yeah.
That's what works for us. Would I recommend that for all German Shepherds? Probably not.
No, and for so what happens is when people come to us for a taster, we have such an array of different harnesses. We will sometimes, the hardest bit for us at a taster is getting the harness that fits the best. It's not always perfect. So someone says to me, what's the best brand of harness? I can't tell you that because the best brand of harness for that dog is this. The best brand of harness for that dog, because it's slightly longer or deeper in the chest, is this. So it might be a short, it might be a long. There's all that to go. And also, so we've got a really cool supplier. We don't sell harnesses. We recommend a harness, but we also say, this, your dog ran in this, contact Snowpaws. They will talk to you over the phone. If you're local to them, they will do a fitting service. They will talk to you about the best harness. And what they're also good at is, if you come to us and you brought your harness and they go, can you check it out? If I think, or any of the other instructors think the harness isn't quite right, Snowpaws are really cool. They'll go, okay, let's look at another one. We'll send that back. We'll do it. It's really nice.
That's really cool.
It's about important to have. It's about spending the money on the dog. Mm. I always say this. If you don't go out and buy yourself a £150 trail shoes. Spend it on the dog first.
Mm.
Bungee and the belt. And then you can look at the kit for yourself. You know, it's about making sure our dog is in the right equipment and safe. That's about as serious as I'm going to get today. I'm just listening to myself. I'm like, is that me being very serious?
Look at you being adult. This is
yeah, amazing. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, don't expect it to last for long.
2 seconds. But it's the same as, you know, with running shoes, because I have a couple of brands that I like for me. I either have Innovate or Brock's tend to be the ones I go for. Whereas I've got loads of friends that really like Salomons. They're just not the right fit for me. So it's the same. Different trainers, exactly, different harnesses, different dogs, different feet.
We have narrow feet. We have wide feet. Depends on which. And it's about that. But the slight difference with us, we want to be comfortable. If our feet hurt, we'll just stop doing it. But our dog might not be able to. We can hear it sometimes. Or they'll be rubbing, but what we don't want to do is leave it to the dog to make that decision. We need to be.
Some dogs are going to be having so much fun doing it, but also their breeding, their genetics might keep them working through, even if they're a little bit uncomfortable, thinking of your shepherds, but also like your spaniels and stuff. You know, if they can run through brambles, a little bit of a rubby harness, they're going to keep going because they're having fun.
So it's important for us to keep an eye on it. And it's a really important thing. So while I'm going to be adult again for a little bit, okay, I try not to be adult for too long because I know how dull it is. however, you brought up about how the dog might find it, there may be some discomfort, but it will carry on because it's really nice. Running your dog when it's hot, right? Just because your dog looks like it's having fun, stop, don't do it. Some dogs can cope. So right, here we go. This is this whole big debate of, well, my dog's all right, et cetera, et cetera. Well, some dogs can deal with heat a little bit better than others. But generally, dogs suffer in heat. End of. You know, I don't care what breed they are. Most dogs, if they're not used to it, and we get this, you know, we hear sometimes, well, what about dogs in really hot climates? Well, generally, if you go out to hot climates, the dogs lay on the street, panting and just going, I'm doing nothing, might go and get a bit of food, might sniff a butt or two, but generally I'm going to lay in the shade. So we have to take into consideration, we have to think for the dog. We have to be, as always, the guardian for our dog. So if it's too hot, we don't run. It's as simple as that.
What are the kind of rules of thumb? Because obviously for me personally, and this is my personal with my dog that I know, once we've had a few weeks of warm weather in the UK, not when it's been Baltic and then all of a sudden it turns to like 90 degrees and everyone melts. Once we've had a few weeks of summer, up to 25 degrees, I will still train my dog.
Okay.
Would I run him at 25 degrees? No, not at all. Because a Hooper's run is 30 seconds of him running. If we go out for a run, a canny, half hour maybe, I'm not going to expect him to run continuously for half an hour. I wouldn't take him over 20 degrees.
So we, as a club, we have a blanket rule.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, even if a dog, someone says, oh, my dog's really good in the heat, my dog can handle humidity, because mm-hmm. that's the other thing people don't consider is humidity.
Yes.
So it's a bit like, oh, it's hot, but I'm going to get on another little bugbear. Another one of my things that I see is I'm going to put my hand on the pavement for 5 seconds. What does that even do? If you're considering putting your hand on the frigging pavement for 5 seconds, you already know in your head it's too frigging hot. If you're going to do some of this stuff. Now, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm really not. And I know there might be people jumping on going, well, it's a fantastic rule. I'm just saying, the moment you start to think it might be too hot, let's have a look. It probably is, right?
Yeah.
So if we're comfortable going out in our shorts, our flip-flops, and a vest top and going, this is awesome. By the way, I don't walk around in vest tops and flip-flops. I'm not that kind. I don't carry that look off. Those
I'm not judging, babe.
That.
I'm not judging.
So it's but we can cross. We're asking our dogs to run.
Yes.
So there's a very different thing. So for us, when we look at as a guide, we do temperature at Fahrenheit
mm-hmm.
and humidity.
Which is ridiculous. Can I just say Fahrenheit makes no sense to anyone ever?
I know it doesn't, but it's kind of a guide that we've used, and it's
so
kind of...
quick maths. You minus, what is it? You add 30 and then times it by 2.
Yeah, and kind of what I do is do it on my phone as well, so I can check it on the phone, so I double it up, so it's really easy. But we do a combined. So if humidity and temperature hit 150, and that's why that is an instant no-go for us,
okay.
Because that's just too much. Mm-hmm. However, it might be that the temperature combined with humidity hits 140. If the humidity is at 97%, no.
It's too much.
Too much. So it's about looking at those conditions. Mm. And as I say, each dog is different.
Yeah.
But if you are going to do this activity, and I don't like calling it a sport because it makes it sound too elitist. It's an activity, right? It's an activity. Let's use an activity. It's about making sure our dogs are safe. Because if a dog suffers from And I don't think people get this. If a dog gets heat stroke, it only takes like, I think it's 2 degrees in change of body temperature, which is,
yeah,
isn't a lot, right?
Right.
If that hits a dog and they get heat stroke, I don't like saying this, dogs coming back from heat stroke, pretty difficult, right?
No, it's like dogs die. Dogs die from heat stroke, yeah. It's fact.
And if we run our dog too far, too in hot weather, et cetera, and we're out on a trail somewhere, what then? What do you actually, what can you physically do?
And the thing is, for me, I can't lift Dodge up on my own because he's too heavy. Yeah. So I wouldn't put us in that situation. So I guess kind of let's talk actual numbers rather than silly Fahrenheits. Sorry to any American listeners, but it makes no sense. What, like 18 degrees and below?
So, yeah, so ideally that would be where we're at. Once
kind of
starts,
as a rule of thumb.
Yeah, because it's comfortable. If it's comfortable for the dog, that's what we've got to look at. So, for example, with us, as a business model, Canicross is a terrible business model. Let me tell you that, right? Because you can only run in the frigging winter, the autumn and the spring, really. Years back, the British summer was lovely. It never got too hot, right? Never did. We'd have lots of rain. I know the what is it 76 everyone bangs on about? I was alive. Well, thanks for that. But we didn't get those summers constantly, whereas now we're getting hotter summers.
Longer, September is always boiling.
So sometimes we might not run throughout the whole of July and August and June. We might get the odd run in if it's suitable.
Yeah.
And if it's, but as we just blanket across it and say, we're not doing it. We're keeping our dogs safe.
Yeah.
Because just one dog at any of our classes that suffers from heat stroke or anything like that would be it for me. It'd be like, we're stopping. And we have a duty of care to our dogs, right? Just because we want to do stuff, we have a duty of care fact to our dogs.
Mm.
We need to look after our dogs always. And running them in the heat just because they like something isn't okay. It's just not. It's not okay. I'm not popular sometimes with other groups because I don't care about that. If you're going to run your dog in the heat and your dog looks uncomfortable, isn't well, there's no excuse for that. And yes, there'll be people that jump on and say to me, oh, well, yeah, but my dog can cope. Well, one day it might not. One day you might go too far. One day it might be hotter than you think it is. And like for example, we've been out, I've checked my phone for the centigrade and Fahrenheit and the humidity, right? I've checked all of those things. I've stepped out my front door and I've gone, well, that weather app got that terribly wrong. Or if we start a run and I say, okay, guys, no, it's done. We'll then have a walk with our dogs. We'll walk in the shade. We'll keep the dog. Because another thing is the dogs all together also get quite excited sometimes. They're with their mates. They're happy. Our dogs won't switch off and go, oh, it's a bit warm today. You know what? I'll have a lay down. I won't go and play with my mates. I'm really smart. Yeah, dogs are smart, but they're also stupid. We know that, right? They will have so much fun until they go, oh.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And that's where Canicross has to be done well.
But as an activity, it's where it is different from things like scent work, hoopers, agility, stuff like that. I remember like last summer, there were a lot of opinions on social media about should competitions be going ahead? Should people be running their dogs in the heat? And that's why I say, you know, I know what my dog's temperatures are. Also, my van is like a silver magical palace TARDIS because it's got a huge silver sheet over it. It's fully insulated, so it's cool. I have digital thermometers inside the van to make sure that Dodge is at the right, you know, that he's nice and cool. There was access to paddling pools. Dogs can wear cooling coats. And honestly, people need to be having more of a problem with, as you say, idiot running their dog in 25 degrees on a collar on a hot pavement in the middle of a city, than me in a lovely field with a lovely breeze, with a lovely paddling pool, and my dog having a lovely rest, doing a warming up for 10 minutes, doing a run, cooling down 5 minutes, and going back to kip for another hour.
Yeah, so it's really, so it's an important point, and it's the same with us, that we don't just take into account the conditions there. So for us, if we put a class on, it was too hot. Mm-hmm. So say we get it wrong, right? It's not just that time, it's the travel time to come to us.
Yeah.
It's then the travel time back.
Yeah.
So there's all those kind of things to take into account. And yes, it is the dog in front of you. Like we, mm-hmm. as trainers, we'll always say, yeah, just because you've got a shepherd, just because you've got a collie, yes, they will have genetics, but train the dog in front of you, not the dog you had 4 years ago that, well, I used to teach the dog, my old dog, this. Well, that's your old dog. This is your new dog. It doesn't quite understand, so let's change it.
Yeah.
If we put a class on, but we know that, you know, your dog can't cope in that condition,
mm-hmm.
or it's not feeling particularly well,
yeah.
that's where you have to be a sensible human being and say, no, it's not for us today, because I know my dog
yeah.
can't cope. And if you're going to miss out, you miss out. And you're right, it's about knowing your dog and how your dog can cope.
And you also, it's where you're running as well, because I know from when I used to do dog walking, really hot days where dogs needed to go out because their owners weren't home all day, it was actually better to take them in an air-conditioned van to the woods where it was cool than let them out in their garden in a south-facing, on top of a hill, no shade at all. Where we run, we tend to do a little bit of farmer's fields, but it's generally woodland. It would be pretty shady, but also there's streams and water along route, as well as us carrying water. And this is the other thing, isn't it? Like making sure that you're giving the dogs enough hydration breaks. Again, a 30-second Hooper's run is not comparable.
It's not at all.
To a half hour canny.
So here's another. So let's go back to some of those myths I was kind of talking about earlier, and about having to be a runner to do canny cross. You don't, right? End of. We don't get me wrong, so the people that run with us that are going to listen to this might go, you cheeky bugger, I'm an amazing runner. And yes, they are. We've got triathletes. We've got people that are into marathons and do very well. Mm-hmm. However, they change their run for their dog. So when they go out and they run amazing marathon times, or triathletes are doing really well, mm-hmm. when they run with their dog, they run with their dog. They run to their dog's ability.
Mm-hmm.
So I go off on loads of tangents here, and I've just thought of one that I really want to bring up.
Go off on the branch and we'll come back.
So canny cross is your dog out in front of you or at your side. It's not behind you. That's dragging. If you drag your dog, that's telling me your dog is unhappy. Stop. End of. Just stop. If your dog isn't out at front and isn't by your side but is running behind you, there tends to be a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your dog is comfortable just behind you. But if that line's tight, guess what? You're running too hard for your dog. Your dog can't cope. Worse still is if you've run and you're running with your dog and your dog does run out front, but then suddenly starts to slow down and go to your side and then goes to the back. You keep running, I've got a problem with that. That's telling me your dog has said, I can't cope. For whatever reason, listen to your dog. Now, most people out there are really good, so I don't want to be banging this boom, but I saw there was this big hoo-ha about parkrun, for example, and stopping canny cross.
Yes.
And a lot of people read lots of different rules into that, etc. Mm-hmm. They didn't say that you have to run your dog on a collar. They still said it had to be run on a harness. You just weren't allowed to run it on a bungee with you at your waist. So hands-free. So canny cross is hands-free. Mm-hmm. You run with your belt, your bungee, and the harness on your dog.
To be fair, my bungee does have a panic handle on it.
Yeah, lots do. And that's, look, I know from discussions and Dodge,
need the panic handle.
I'd recommend it too. Most bungees do. So with the park run, they said you have to run. So you could still run with a bungee handheld, attached to a harness on the dog, right? But it couldn't be hands free because people were running with long leads. But what we did find was, or what I did see, was again that kind of gone right off on a tangent here.
That's
was
fine.
There a park run? People chasing PBs with their dog. That's what I was trying to get at.
Okay.
If your dog can cope, okay, fine. But if your dog's behind you because you think, I'm 10 seconds away from the best ever time, but your dog's having its drag, that's not where it should be. And that's the same in anything that we do with Canny Cross.
It needs to be a team.
It's a team event. And it's a team event. And the whole reason it's good for reactivity or nervous dogs, whatever emotions you want to put on it, timid dogs, is all dogs are on a lead at all times. Mm. They're never off lead. In all our classes, they're never off lead. They are on lead. So they're all connected. We give space. And anyone that listens to this that's got a dog with, let's say, big emotion, shall we use the big emotion word?
I like it.
They get the space they not only need, but deserve, right?
I mean, the other thing is...
And if the dog's comfortable, we build that team up and that bond. Guess what your dog's going to do when you ask it to do something? It's going to listen, right? It's not difficult to work. And if the dog trusts us to get them out of jail or out of Dodge, I was going to use, I'm not sure that's an image I want to... Let's get our dogs out of Dodge. if we can be that guardian for our dog that says, this is great fun, this is about the bond and us, the bond of being with your dog, the bond of being outside, the wellness of being with other like-minded people who have, and I guarantee you'll agree with me on this, if you've got a dog with big emotions, whether that be, let's say, reactivity, lunging, barking, or just barking at a dog for whatever, there's a lot of judgment that goes with this on a general walk. If you find the right club, they will not. You're in this really nice, safe bubble where we go, okay, you need more space. That's cool. Back up. Can we give Bert a bit of space here, guys? Because I can see he's getting a little agitated.
Yeah.
Suddenly, we've got this nice little community where people go, oh, I fit in. You don't care that my dog's a bit of a dick. No, I love your dog.
So, question.
Go on.
Can dogs run with, and notice I'm phrasing this very carefully, a correctly fitted basket muzzle?
100%.
Cool.
So some dogs, we will insist. So we try not to... I haven't had to say to someone, no, you can't run with us, because we can work at distance. But what we have to consider is not just... So if you come to one of our classes, all our venues, mm-hmm. Or if we're going to do a pop-up run, and we will risk assess it first.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that risk assessment is it safe to run on? That's the first thing. Yeah. Do we have to cross any big roads? And we run on trails and countryside and beaches. We don't run on pavement. It's no good for the dogs. Ask me about pavement running and growth plates in a second, because it's really important about that. So we'll do a risk assessment,
mm-hmm.
that takes lots of factors into account, right? So type of surface we're running on. Has it been flooded recently? Are there livestock, for example, that we have to pass through? Running through a field that we're allowed to with bulls in it and calves and stuff, that don't happen, right? So you have to risk assess where you go.
Cows are scary.
Cows are scary. And cows don't. Not all cows like dogs, it has to be said. There seems to be this.
Especially if you're near a field of livestock and there are babies in it, put your dog on a fucking lead. And if you can go around it. We know that dogs should be on lead around livestock at all times.
Even my dog, I've had sheep following me and Bert in a field, right? But if the Berks are a collie and the sheep follow him, right? It's hilarious.
I'd love to get a picture because I feel there's like some upside down matrix going on there.
Yeah, it's really strange. But he'll be on a lead. And it got to a point once where the sheep were following so close. I was like, oh, Jesus. All right, Bert, we've got to get a shift on. So we started to move faster. the sheep were following and Bert's going, something's not quite right. If you'd have seen us doing it, it'd have been like, don't think this guy's got it right. He should be behind the sheep. But so we do a lot of risk assessment. And of course, one of those risks will be, is it a busy area? So let's avoid busy places, right? That's just a simple rule because dogs running, dogs off lead, running up to dogs that are canny crossing. As you said earlier, movement for a dog, when they see another dog move, it's like, oh, awesome. Some dogs with zero recall will run up to our dogs. So we have to risk assess, which is what the instructor and the team are really good at this. So if we have a reactive dog in the pack, who's at the back, what will happen is, or at the front, depends on where we feel the dog fits. It can fit in the middle if it knows its group. What will often happen is I'll see a dog off lead, or one of the instructors that's leading at the other venues, they'll see a dog off lead and they'll just be like, okay, everyone, stop walking. And we'll walk. I'll say to the owner, can you call your dog back, please? We've got a couple of dogs that don't like it in their face here.
Right, they're friendly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's not go down that road because we'll be here for another 4 hours on this podcast. However,
okay, let's assume they've gone, no problem, peep, peep, and their dog has listened to the whistle straight away.
Yeah, let's dream. but we can all have a dream, right? But what will happen is, because we're out as a nice group and a team of people that care, they'll be, for example, okay, and I might guide the dog away. Somebody might shield the reactive dog so the other dog can't get to the dog. So we have to risk assess all those things. And going back to, can you run with a muzzle, which is where this started, right? If we got a dog that we know might just lose it enough, that's fine. We can have a muzzle. So as long as they can get, there's plenty of air. The big thing here is there's air going through. So
they can have full pantry.
It's not restricted.
Yep.
And they can drink. So we don't drink running. So potentially when we stop, the muzzle can come off, drink.
Yeah.
Go back on. Because we don't feed during canny cross.
Snacks. Hang on, stop. Are you saying there's no snacky snacks when we're running?
So it depends on what we do. So let's go back to the important bit. So let's go to Mark being an adult again, right?
I know it's back to adult N.
Yeah, I know it's difficult to kind of comprehend. You can see what I'm all at and everything else. So being an adult is not really what I'm good at. So when can a dog start canny crossing? So this is really important. That should have started, said this at the very start, because people with a six-month-old dog go, yoo-hoo, I'm going out canny crossing with my dog. This is awesome.
No, ma'am. No.
No, you're not. When can a dog start canny crossing? Depending on breed. It's very breed specific here. Minimum is 12 months old before you can start canny crossing with your dog.
And are we talking little Sphinx?
So we're talking, just kind of the average, let's say the average dog from Spaniel to Collies, etc. You know, that's okay. For the bigger breeds, we're looking at 18 months to 2 years. So some of the bigger Vizslas, some of the certainly Shepherds, some of the bigger Labs. Again, it all depends. And we always say to people, look, speak to your vet also, because we need to find out if you're going to run with us. We always say we need to know if you can run, if there's any conditions that we need to know about, you know. And most importantly, is your dog okay to run? So the minimum is 12 months. Then it goes up for the larger breeds to 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
But we also say, if there's any doubt, let's speak to a vet. You know, I'll speak to a vet. If someone says, oh, I've got this breed and if I'm not sure, I'll go, all right, I'll do a little bit of research. But I don't need to, because it's like, okay, we can do this. But it's really important because of growth plates. This is why we don't start dogs too early. And growth plates harden as the dog ages. So generally, for the average size dog, those growth plates are solid by about 12 months.
Yep.
For most. It's why agility, dogs shouldn't do agility before. I don't do agility in case anyone.
Hooper's is 15 months competing, and you can do like NFCs, so like baby nursery runs from 12 months, but we don't start competing till they're 15 months. When you think how low impact Hooper's is in relation to a lot of other exercise options, I guess that I would use that as a rule of thumb for Canny as well, that you can start training at 12, but you don't want to start doing anything serious till 15, 16 months.
So what happens? Yeah, so what happens with Canny Cross is, so we wait until they're 12 months, 18 months to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about building it up. So just because your dog, you think your dog can run for miles and miles, that doesn't mean it should, right? Mm-hmm. It's a bit like saying, I'm going to run a marathon tomorrow. Well, if you don't run at all, you ain't going to be able to do that. Don't get me wrong, there are some people that can, but if you have to train, right? You have to, little increments. And
I'm just going to sidebar you. I can tell people from experience. Shape Temba a couple of years ago, where I ended up in this stupid running challenge that I won. I only won it on spite, I tell you. The last day of September, I did a marathon over the day. The next day, I regretted all my life choices and also how freaking competitive I am. And I blame my dad and my brothers for that fully, because it was always, if you come second, you're the best loser. And for someone that's,
the second is people class it as, the first loser.
Yeah, first loser. That's just how it was in our house. Like, we're all quite competitive growing up. But for me, like, can I run? I'm a sprinter. I was always, I did hurdles. I did 100 metres. And at school, when I played hockey, I was on the wing because I was a sprinter. I don't do distance running. So for me to suddenly spend a month with, I'm not going to lie, absolutely no preparation, because, why would you prepare for such a thing? It was just stupid. And I actually broke myself. And last year, I bowed out. I was like, nope, I did it. I won once. I'm not doing it again because it was stupid.
I thought you were going to do it once again. I think you toy with doing it again? And then you thought, actually, I might not win it this time. So yeah, clearly.
You know what the other problem was, full disclosure, is that the month of September, there was a really big hoops competition going on, and losing basically 6 days of being able to run, because I'm not going to run dodge on a day I'm competing in, I was like, that means I've got to run without my dog. Two things. First of all, running with him, I feel safer. As a woman, that's a female thing. I feel much safer having a large shepherd attached to the front of me than I do running on my own. But also, I treadmill run rather than be out in the world, because world running without my dog, I just don't like it.
So I'm going to upset loads of people here. You mean assisted running?
Right. I did a marathon on a treadmill, mate. I tell you, there was some angry music playing that last day.
I'm gonna go back to a couple of bits you did there. Running with others, it's really difficult in this day, especially if you're a woman, because that's not really that's not a relevant comment for me to say, and I don't want to. But we do run as a group. So whether you're female or male, and you don't feel comfortable running outside on your own, guess what? We're here. It's a really nice environment. It's a safe environment. And if I'm honest, a lot of people for that hour go, I'm just going to put all my responsibilities on hold, right? I'm just going to leave them. And guess what? You're in charge. Can you just run and we'll follow? So my group, for example, we run in a country park, and we've got a bit of woodland, we've got single tracks, we've got, it's really nice.
Nice.
I take them into the, this sounds awful, I take them into the woods. So I take them in, most of my runners are female actually at my group. So I take them into the woods, and then I say, after a little bit of a run, who wants to lead and get us out here? And then they'll go, no, but I can't. They've been running with me for years and years. But it's a lovely thing for people to do sometimes, to say, I'm going to leave all the crap behind me. I'm just going to have a lovely time with my dog. And somebody else is taking responsibility for an hour. And it's and that's what we do. You know, there's a lot of, okay, we plan the run, we do this. And it's great for giving people, Canyon Cross is great for giving people confidence. It really is. Even if you don't run with your dog, go outside for a long walk. Go for a run if you can. Spend some time out in the real world, away from the toxic side of social media, for example. Don't get sucked into it. Switch the news off. There's a little laugh going on there because between trainers at the moment. That's why we're like, God, we're not going
always,
there.
There's fighting. Always a freaking war going on between trainers.
But if you turn the news on, turn it off occasionally.
Yeah.
Switch the phone off, go outside and spend time, whether it's Canyon Cross, whether it's with a group of people doing it, or whether it's just enjoying the environment with your dog, switch off from the world. And that's what myself and the instructors do. We say, look, come with us, dump it here for a bit, and let's go and have some fun with your dogs. We're out, so our classes are an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't say, your advice is going, an hour? We don't run solidly for an hour at all, ever.
Because that would be stupid.
It would be stupid, really stupid. We do lots of stops. So basically, we'll have a nice little warm-up. So here's another thing, guys. See, I'm aware of the time here.
We're doing good. Keep going. You're cool. You're grand.
So with regards to exercise, if look at it the same as us, right? You said you was a sprinter, right?
In the 1990s.
Just a few years back, right? I was trying to make that sound like a compliment. I'm really aware that just sounded like that was a while ago, right?
That was a shit ton time ago.
That's not for me to say, right? But if you imagine, so I say to you, right, you're going to do the 100 metres. And you're like, oh, cool, that's my favourite distance. Would I say, right, put your spikes on, go? No, I wouldn't. I would say, right, I know sprinters don't like doing any distance work, but you would do some warm-ups and you would do some stuff like that. So same with us with Canyon Cross. We would start with a little bit of a walk. So we'd walk to our start point, and then we'd go, okay, we're going to have a gentle line out, which is our cue to get our dogs to go out the front. Then we'd have a very nice, steady little run. Then after a couple of minutes, I'd be like, okay, stop. Then we'd have some water for our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would start again, and we tailor it to the people and the dogs in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we don't run for an hour nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of different breaks. Over the course of an hour, we've got different groups. So, you know, we have a group that might do a little bit more distance on a Friday because of the dogs and the people that run.
Mm-hmm.
So we tailor classes to the people and the dog, which is really more to the dog than the people. So we get it right. But it's an hour max.
Mm-hmm.
And my classes, for example, will cover 5K maximum, 5K in an hour, because it's a very, taglines for my little group is, for Skellywags, really, it's not about how far or how fast you go, it's about the time you spent with your dog. That's what it's about. And for
I
me,
like that. That's
I used
nice.
to be a real competitive guy. I put a few pounds on over the years, and anyone that knows me will go, yeah, he's put up more than a few. But I used to be very competitive in running. I used to do marathons. I used to do triathlons, all that crazy stuff. And when I started Canny Cross with Bert, I entered a few races. And I won a few, right? Bert and I were very compatible
Good
as
job.
A team. We worked well. But I also started to see things I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So I took myself out of that arena. And one of the biggest things for me was, Bert loved the running, but I could see the little signs of stress when he was around all the dogs waiting to start. At the finish, it's not so bad because I can get him out the way, it's done. But I started to look at it and I started to think, we're a great team, and if I keep the, you know, keep running. But I could see he wasn't happy at the start of a race. So we don't compete anymore. It's not for us.
And
so it's
I'm
obviously-
just going to say hat off to you for doing that for your dog, because...
My dog comes before me, always.
It should always be dog first, sport second, regardless of what the sport is.
Yeah,
dogs
well,
first,
you,
always.
Look, we know what the sport world for dogs can be like sometimes.
Oh,
and
it's freaking
it's no
wanky.
Different. It's a soccer mum, isn't it? Is that a nice way to put it? The soccer mum.
I come from the equestrian world. It's a bit pony club mum.
Yeah, so that kind of thing, and I do get it that we want our dogs to do well. But it's how that transfers down when we make a mistake or the dog doesn't do well.
Yeah.
Do we then go, oh, God, and dogs pick up on all that kind of negativity. But more importantly, if your dog isn't, so is Canny Cross for every dog? No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not for every dog. Is agility for every dog? No, it's not. Is scent work for every dog? Almost.
Probably.
Almost, I have to say, I'm going to say, yeah. It is for every dog.
But it's not for every handler.
Exactly. So it's about what works. So here's a story, right? When I was teaching, when I was learning how to do hoopers with you, I taught Bert. Now, Bert's a collie. Bert's super smart. But Bert's also super excited, right? Bert's a very excitable collie. So, and I tell students this at my classes, Bert gets super excited, and one of the fun things he does is he'll do a circuit, and I'll play. And then after the second circuit, he might nip my bum.
I knew you were going to say
it's
that.
Something, it's
I
something,
knew that you were going to get a tough kiss.
It's something that he loves doing, right? Now, I as a trainer should probably turn around and go, mate, that's really not acceptable. But to me, it's him going, fucking hell, Dad, I love you. Because it's not, it's just him doing what he does.
A little tough kiss on the butt.
So we do two rounds of hoopers. That's it for him. Whereas with scent work, that's his bag. You know, that's what he adores in Canny Cross. Canny Cross, scent work and swimming, they're his bag. You know, so I know what he really loves. And so I do as much of that with him as I can. And that's what I'm trying to get at, that it's worth giving it a go, but if your dog doesn't like it, then don't take them running, right? If you love running and your dog doesn't, don't take them. End of. That's just fact. Just don't do it.
Hang on. What if your dog loves running but you don't?
Learn. Learn to run is what I'd say. But here's what...
Oi, fatty, get off the sofa, put the cake down and get
I ain't using any of those terms.
No, I'm saying that to myself. That was like my internal monologue going...
So if people that used to run with me saw me now 5 years on, they'll be like, did you eat another person? What happened, right? But that's because my life has changed.
Yeah.
I get this is the one warning I will give people. If you like running and you start running with your dog, beware. You might just start hating running without your dog. However,
I've heard a lot of people say this.
However, just because you hate running without your dog, don't assume that your dog can run the same distance, or more importantly, should run the same distance.
Yes.
Now, there are people out there who can run their dogs for 10, 13 miles marathons. They've built up to that. Would I personally run my dog to marathon distance? No, I wouldn't. That's my personal.
That breed must come into this a little bit as well.
Breed certainly comes into it, right?
Like, so, I wouldn't expect a sight hound to do that because they're bred to sprint.
No, so, but any dog that would be built up to that would have to be built up to it. And yes, it would be breed specific.
People have huskies?
Yeah, so here's where the Canny Cross originates from sled dogs, because it was their way of Europe.
God, that was like the best segue.
Well done. It was their way of training the dogs and keeping them fit when there was no snow.
Yeah.
During the summer months, when there was no snow, it was their way of saying, okay, we need to keep our dogs trained and fit. But of course, it has now got this amazing sport going, activity rather, where we've now got it with skiing on bikes, etc. But you have to always look at the dog in front of you, right? And I've said that a lot of times today, but it's a real big thing for me. Just because you want to do something doesn't make it right if your dog doesn't like it, right?
Yeah.
Same as if you've got children and you want your child to go to karate classes, tennis classes. If they hate it, find something they frigging like doing. Don't beat them into submission. So if your dog doesn't like agility, don't take it to agility. If it doesn't like canny cross, don't take it, right? There's loads of other things. I'm just saying, if you're going to do things like this, do it properly. And by properly, I don't mean be amazing and, oh, my, fantastic. I just mean do it properly, that
it's safe.
You run in the right, your dog runs in the right equipment. You run in the right conditions. You run when it's safe to, for you and your dog. Yeah. And you both have fun.
So that takes us beautifully to the thing we put a pin in.
I'm glad you remember, because I've forgotten. What's the pin?
Road running.
So, canny cross is a cross-country sport with your dog.
Okay.
It shouldn't be run on concrete for loads of reasons, but mainly with their joints.
Okay.
Concrete isn't very giving, right? So
I'm going to counter ask that. But again, if it's the summer and it's boiling hot, you're not going to be running your dog anyway unless you're a twat. Right. Just said, that's my opinion, not Mark's. Although I feel that I just got that.
If you're running your dog and it's too hot, you're a twat. I'm not going to sit on the fence on that.
From being a horsey girl, from doing competitions in fields in the summer, the ground is freaking hard.
But you've already answered that, right? So if the ground's that hard in the summer, it's because it's generally that hot. So we might not be running our dogs anyway. However, hard grounds, we would generally run through trails. So those trails are generally muddy.
So because obviously I wouldn't train hoopers on concrete, but if someone was building hoop value in their back garden on the patio and the dog's just trotting backwards and forwards for a hoop on a patio, that's cool.
Yeah, cool is, yeah. It's about, so if we did a route, for example, say I decided that I'm going to do a pop-up run, or one of our lovely instructors who are absolutely amazing, I might add, while I'm on here, that these guys, they give up every weekend to run and lead people. You know, they do this. Yes, we get paid.
Let's
but they
some snaps and pops because they are cool.
Ultimately, these guys put effort in to find a safe route and make sure it's safe. Now, sometimes we might run on a stretch of road.
Okay.
But it would be a very quiet road, like country lane, because all our runs are out down in Kent, in very quiet areas.
Okay.
So we wouldn't be running along a main road ever. Right?
Because it's just silly. No one needs to run against the main road anyway, because it's going to be busy and cars and fumes.
So many accidents happen. You've got a bungee that's, 6 foot long, for example. So we bring them in close. Yes, we've got cues for that. And you'll notice I use the word cues a lot rather than commands.
Oh, it's a cue, not commands. It's a cue, not commands. It's one of my bugbears.
Yeah. So we might have to cross a road, like Country Lane, for example, or run up it to the next byway, the public park. So sometimes that will happen.
Yeah.
But to run constantly on concrete, and I always say, I'm an ex-marathon runner, but I used to prefer my trail running to my road marathons. It's certainly done much less damage to my legs.
Well, the thing is, as well, coming from horse background, we were always taught that you walk and trot horses on the road. You wouldn't canter the horses on the road, not intentionally. I mean, occasionally you'd be on something that was being a twat and you'd end up cantering sideways up a road, which no one needs ever. But yeah, for horses, you'd walk or trot. And I guess for me, you know, I'll be honest, Dodge generally doesn't break out for trot when we're doing anything because I just ain't quick enough.
But what you might find is if, so if you ran with a group, for example, say for example, you said, actually, Mark, I'd like to join you or run your
I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling a little bit tempted that I might come over to Kenton because it's not a million miles away.
No. So
maybe.
And you might find that with the right encouragement, there's loads of ways we can teach forward the dog to run forward. But generally, if it's chasing seems wrong there, especially using Bert and Dodge. Oh, yeah, you want to run.
Just put a person in front of Dodge and tell them to run. It helps, you know.
That tree rat, remember, on the back of the rucksack. If we have
nothing
the right
like
person,
tapping into the prey drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that, I'm not suggesting that we should run along with a squirrel attached to someone and they chase it because it's great or they are seen.
But don't forget though, Dodge's genetics, a person running is enough of a target
for
him.
So here's a nice one. I did a one-to-one with a Mallee doing some canny cross, and this Mallee is beautiful. But his thing is, as he gets close to the back end of someone, a bit like the collie, he likes to nip. So
little
you guys
kiss.
Can't see this, but
it's
I'm doing my hand.
Shepherd tough kiss. They do these things.
And this Mallee is absolutely beautiful, but it was really good. So as it was getting closer to me, it was just nudging my backside with its nose. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm just going to speed up a little bit. Can you just back off a little bit? But that was kind of.
I'm just going to say, though, as a man, that must have been slightly unnerving.
Do you know what? It's really funny because I trust the dog. I know the dog really well, and I know the owner. So for me, I knew that the dog was just going, "Oh, hello, mate. What are you doing here? What do you mean? What am I doing here? I'm front leading for you, pal." So it was really nice. But that's what I'm saying. The dog will look. We've got loads of ways we can get our dogs to go forward. And if our dog just wants to trot but is happy, then we just trot, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, it's about making sure that we do it for the right reasons, because it is an amazing activity. It is just phenomenal. It just, but it builds the bond so much more than it's. So the fitness stuff and my class particularly, and they're going to hear this and they're going to go, Jesus, why does he tell people this? So as a snippet, we did, so if people want to see us, we're at Pawfest, which is in Deal, Kent. It's a dog show, but with a difference where we do lots of ethical stuff, scent work. We'll be doing a canny cross session where you watch what we do. And generally when we do these at shows, I'll introduce the people coming in and I will say, my myth that I'd like to dispel is you have to be an athlete to do canny cross. Christ's sake, look at this lot. Look at this. There's no athlete here, but it's fun. And they don't take offence by it, but that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
It's for everybody.
Yeah.
As long as you haven't got like an underlying health condition that says you should never, ever run or be attached to it. It's about saying, it's all those things. But it is more important that, yes, there are people out there that are awesome, and there are some amazing canny cross runners, and we've got them too, that can race, they do it well.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that aren't always done well, and that would be another episode, so I'll step away from that. But it's about keeping our dogs happy and safe. Have I said happy and safe enough today?
I feel like I should put a thing at the start of the episode that if people want to turn this into a drinking game...
yeah, the amount of times. But I was going to go back onto something here.
I've now got images of people like taking a shot every time you said happy and safe, and everyone just blotto off.
Well, well-being is another, is because it's important. But we've gone right off piste. I remember what it was now. We were talking about sprinting. I think this even started from at one point. Do you remember we were talking about you sprinting?
Oh my God, back in the 1800s, yeah.
Yeah, so it's about how we build into what we do. Yeah. So we walk, and at the end of the session, we should be checking our dog over, feeling their arse, checking their pads that there's nothing in their pads. Dogs are the most amazing at masking pain. And as you said earlier, I don't know if it was while we were recording or just the prior chat, like a spaniel that's flushing or something.
Oh, if it's spaniels, got something wrong, it
just keep going.
Yeah.
So the same with dogs sometimes, it's only later. So at the end, it's a nice cool down. We stretch, our dogs get to stretch. Some dogs will stretch with us because we've taught that.
Yeah.
But we give a gentle massage and we say, that's it. And same with a lot of the stuff I do and probably you do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to canicross to tire your energetic, out-of-control dog, don't do it. That's not what canicross is about, right? Canicross or any dog sport or dog activity, whether it be scent work, agility, hoopers, if you think that you're going to tire your dog out just by physical activity, you do need to go and see someone and see what's going on inside your head. Because, now I've upset people, right? If we can mentally stimulate our dogs, and that's what Candy Cross does, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're listening out for our cues. So when we start this journey, we're starting with, we're going to teach you a line out, and on by, a stop, a steady, left and right. We're going to teach all of these things. And guess what our dog is suddenly doing? It's listening to us.
But also I find with Dodge, he goes into what I call work mode, where he's not bothered about all the other stuff. If I run him on my own, it's just us two out, he's on high alert.
Yeah,
because he's with me. And probably because I'm a bit like, oh, we're on our own and blah, blah, blah. So it's not relaxed. But when I've been on the group runs with, like, you know, my friend and my cousin, it's running a different dog because he's like, oh, cool. But also, like we were saying earlier, if you do have the off-lead dogs come over, their dogs are a lot more tolerant. One of the dogs is very friendly. There's literally a buffer of three dogs before they get to Dodge. And generally, I've had time to move him well out of the way.
Yeah.
And it's cool. So, Mark, for people that are thinking, canicross, maybe this could be a thing, where can they
find... Oh, can I just say one other thing?
Yeah, go for it. Go on, before I wrap up your call.
Oh, well, if I start canicross and I put a harness on my dog, it's going to pull forever. I've spent thousands getting my dog to walk nicely. Myth. Absolute myth.
Dodge has different harnesses.
It's the equipment. We put a different harness on, the dog will... So here's how I explain it to people in the simplest form, right? When we're getting ready for canicross, we put a certain set of clothes on, etc., etc. Our dog's already spotted that. The harness going on, it's a different harness. Mm-hmm. And if you're not 100% sure about that, I guarantee that the average dog, when you get up to go to work, doesn't get its sorry ass off the bed because it knows you're going to work. When you put a different pair of shoes on and go to get a different drawer opened, because that's where the treat pouch might be or the lead, your dog goes, no way, and loses its crap, right? Guess what? It transfers exactly the same because we're using different cues for canicross.
Yep.
We're using a different harness. We're dressed up in different equipment. Guess what? Our dogs are smart enough to go, got it.
I also use different collars for Dodge for different things.
So sometimes I might use a little bandana for for scent work.
Yeah, a lot of dogs either have a snood or a bandana put on.
Or for example, for Bert, because I've done it for so long, Bert gets two taps for an active search where he's got to go and bring something back.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an indication, a passive search, it will be find it, but there'll be no tap. So Bert knows that the hand's signaling him to go forward.
Dodge wears the same harness for canny and tracking.
Yeah.
But when we track, obviously he's on a totally different line because
And he's also there's with tracking, you've got that slight pull, haven't you? Not quite
which
like man
is
training.
Why I use
You've
the
still
same
got.
harness, because that's that you can pull in this harness, buddy. That's cool. But also, he has a different collar that goes on for tracking. It's got one of the big heavy metal, it's one of them big military ones with a handle on, because you know it's a shepherd and he has to look odd.
I was about to say,
tracking.
Everybody, this is a big dog, so this dog can handle that collar. It's not an aversive toy, everyone. It's a proper collar to let the dog know there's another activity.
He's working. That's his working collar. That's his tracking collar. He also has a special collar that's really wide for hoopers, because he doesn't generally wear a harness going to and from the ring. So he has a really wide collar. So if he does happen to pull, I'm not putting pressure on his neck. Yeah. The collar he wears at home in the house is a little thin, pretty one, because it's just there to have his tags on. It's fine.
Exactly.
Having different harnesses for him, his perfect fit harness is we're training, we're working. So if we're stooging, if we're doing what I call proper training, he wears his perfect fit. When we're walking, which means trying not to drag me down the road, but you can sniff what you want, he's got a different harness for that. And then we've got our musher's harness, which is tracking and canny.
Yeah, exactly that.
Different kit does different jobs.
The same as simple things like lead walking. When Bert needs to stay a little bit closer, he's also in a perfect fit for walking.
Mm-hmm.
I will attach it to the front of the harness.
Yes.
When I'm out in the fields or on the beach, because we're lucky enough to live at the coast.
Nice.
If I want him on a long line, because yes, Bert has perfect recall, but I don't always, I work with the environment that I can see. And if there's lots of activity going around, I'll either not take him there, for example, because mm-hmm. I don't want his walk ruined.
Yeah.
But if I feel it's safe for him, even on a street walk, if I want him to have more space, then I clip the top. Bert knows the difference between the top of the harness and the front of the harness.
Yes.
And it's all relative, and people do. And it's like, guys, give me a Ferrari, I'm not going to become a Formula One driver. I'm still going to be a shit driver. You know, the equipment isn't going to make me any better like that. I'm not going to jump into that, you know. Just think about it a bit. I'm not a shit driver.
I love that example. I love that you just admitted to the world you're a shit driver as well. That's wicked.
Yeah.
So, Mark, that's the perfect point to finish it on. So thank you.
Yes, I'm a shit driver. Thanks. Yeah, come with Candy Crush. Just don't let me drive your dog's hair, because I'm shit at driving.
That's hilarious. So, Mark, where exactly in the lovely county of Kent are you based?
So we've got several venues.
Ooh.
So we have a venue in Gravesend, Kent.
Okay.
We have, which we also do other runs around there.
Is Gravesend near Bluewater?
Yeah. So that's kind of where it is, yeah. So
for anyone whose geography is based around shopping outlets.
Yeah. Ebbsfleet Tunnel, Ebbsfleet International Station, I think, is another big area around there. We're down on the Deal coastline as well. Down in Deal, so if you imagine the map, we're kind of the southeast, east part of Kent, not too far up. So places that people might, so we've got Deal, we've got Minas Bay, which is Thanet Way, and we have the Romney Marsh, which is where I am based. So we have lots of country runs, we have beach runs.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, beach running is really, really cool, especially if we get up nice and early and we see the sunrise. We'll sometimes do our sunrise. We do night runs too. We do head torch runs with our dogs. So,
sunrise.
Honestly, there's so much. Canny Cross is much more than. Canny Cross is and should never be being dragged around by your dog. Canny Cross is about fun.
Can you give Dodge that memo, please?
Yeah, but listen, you might want. So, you said about he doesn't want to run up the hills. We teach our guys to do the work.
No, to be fair, I actually have a slowdown cue for hoopers, and I've just transferred it over.
Good.
And it's a very low whistle that he goes, oh, I have to slow down. Okay, cool.
So we do that. When we do hill running, we'll say, right, we want your dogs closer and we want you to do the work. This isn't about your dog doing the work for you.
I'm like, hang on a minute.
Yeah, this now you're
the
thinking, hang on, I don't want to go to this class.
Massive engine at this one.
But it's about that, about them working together.
Teamwork, yeah.
And it is teamwork. So if our dog is just doing all the work, Yeah. It's not fair.
I mean, for both of us, to be fair, hill sprints are good for both of us because it works our glutes and builds our hip muscles up.
Anyone that knows me and Skellywags, and even prior to my life as Skellywags, hill training is the way forward. So anyone that's listening to this that is a runner that hates hills, get your ass off the sofa and run some.
Stop.
They will make you a better. They will make you a better runner.
Yes, it's true. To be fair, where we live, even our road walks involve hills. I can't get away from it. So it's very hilly where we are, but that's it. So I will, as always, post some links in the show notes of websites and stuff. We've got social media.
I'm a bit old school and I'm not very good at social media, right?
For England,
as you probably found out, but social media, I'm rubbish at. But we do have a website, we do have a Facebook, and we do have Insta. Did you want those?
Yep, tell everyone now.
Okay, so if you're interested in anything that we do, Canicross, dog training, scent work, and you want to have fun with your dog, check us out. I think is the big thing here. So www.skellywagsdogtraining.co.uk is our website. Our Facebook is Skellywags Canicross and Dog Training.
Cool.
And Insta is Skellywags_Canicross.
Perfect.
And Skelly is SKELLY. Some people put it in as Scally, which, you know, I'm not saying I'm not a Scallywag, but
no, we like a bit of wordplay when we name.
Might take you to a different site altogether.
Well, and we are not responsible for that.
No, I'm not either.
So, guys, as always, you can follow me on the socials at Canine Hoopers World, at Dodge Shepherd on the Insta. We have TikTok now. I'm down with the kids. It's mainly Dodge. And there are lots of start line weight dances. So every Monday, I am now doing a start line weight dance. It's a little challenge I've set for myself for the year. So by the time these podcasts are coming out, there'll be a little library that you can catch up on of me doing stupid dances while my dog stands patiently waiting for me to give him his release cue, which is all good fun. So until next time, guys, stay safe, be kind, wash your hands thoroughly, keep your dogs on lead around livestock, and don't let them lick toads. Take care, guys. Bye. Guys, I just wanted to ask you a real quick favour. If you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, it's going to help other people find me and listen to what I'm doing here at Canine Hoopers World. We're now on all the socials. So we have the Instagram, we have the Facebook, and we are officially on the TikTok at Canine Hoopers World. And remember to check out our website, www.caninehoopersworld.com, where you can find out information on in-person courses, online courses, and if you're doing Hoopers with your dog, you can also join in with our online achievement awards. These are open to any person, any dog, anywhere in the world, to come and test your skills and get yourself a cool ribbon.